Call the May 2nd Common Council meeting in order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandridge.
Here.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For those of you with cell phones, I know they're not real common these days, but could you please put them to ring, to vibrate, please? First item of business, B1, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and speak your piece. Anyone? Ms. Bills. Step up to the mic, please. Speak into the microphone, please.
Is it on?
Yeah, speak into it.
Judy Mills, 8018 West Winston Way, Franklin, Wisconsin. I'm just wondering two things. When I went to the Milwaukee County meeting, they had minutes there I've never been to a meeting before, but they had minutes there that I could understand, follow along. I knew exactly what they were talking about. They had people there that were speaking to the issues, and it made sense to me. When I come to these meetings, and I look at these meetings for these minutes, a lot of it, don't make sense. I can't understand. You don't discuss them. You just say, we're going to vote on this, or we want to. You talk among yourselves. I would like to see minutes that are more explanatory, that make more sense, more documented on what you're actually doing. I'd also like to suggest that there's some kind of newsletter that goes out to I know you send out the letter that has information on what's going on, but it gives very little information about what the government is actually doing and plans you have and what you're anticipating doing. And I think people would be very interested to know what you're planning, what you're actually doing. And I'd like to see a quarterly newsletter that goes out that is very explicit on what you're actually doing with land development and who's doing it on the surface, so people actually know what's happening in the city. Because most people don't have a clue what is actually going on here. And they're always kind of surprised at what's happening. It seems to be very clandestine operation. And then the other thing is when I went to the Milwaukee County meeting, it wasn't as intimidating as it is talking here. They had a table with chairs, so anybody that wanted to speak could come up, they could sit down, and there was a microphone there, and they could talk. And it wasn't, for many people, it's kind of intimidating when you have to come up and talk to the group. And they made it as comfortable for people to talk to them as possible, so that the person talking could sit down and kind of relax and say what they had to say and speak into a microphone. But I've seen people up here where their hands are shaking, their legs are shaking, and it would be nice if they had a place to sit down and do that kind of thing. And the other thing is that they didn't have a 3-minute limit where all of a sudden they were cut short and said, get out. They were allowed to speak, and I can see if somebody's droning on, you can say, all right, could you you know, summarize or whatever. There's a polite way to say that. But to just cut a citizen off and say, you have nothing else to say to us, or we're not going to allow you to speak anymore. You only have 3 minutes when somebody might have more than 3 minutes to say. That just seems, I don't know, rude. So I think there's a better way to handle somebody who's talking too long and you want them to stop. So those are just suggestions that I would like you to consider as a council, just for the citizens of the city, to have a more open government and more open discourse, and to make it more comfortable for people when they come up here to talk, so it's not so intimidating. And that's the other thing, is that sometimes you have some response to, you know, you all sit there in this stone-faced group of people staring back at you. Nobody ever responds to anything anybody says. And so people come up here, they pour their heart out to you, or they make comments, and you have all these aldermen and the mayor, and everyone just sits there. No one says anything. Nobody says, that's a good idea, or we're going to take that under consideration, or whatever. It's just, there's no response at all to anything that a citizen says, unless you're attacking them and saying, you can't prove that. So I think that you might consider giving people some feedback about what they're saying and what you think about their thoughts when they come up here in front of you, because they're the ones that put you in office.
Your Honor, I would like to respond.
Alderman Taylor.
First off, Milwaukee County's ordinances and procedures are different than the city of Franklin's, and to be up to this body to make those type of changes. The second thing, I'm going to defend this body, and every one of you can go to the county board meeting, the Parks and Energy Environment Committee, which I serve on, and view that meeting. And what I will tell you is, yes, we have a time limit, and every single person that normally comes here on Tuesday nights from Greendale and Franklin that came down, and some of them are in the audience right now, came down there and one by one ignored what the chairman of the committee was saying, spoke over what the chairman of the committee was saying, was absolutely disrespectful to that committee, where after that meeting was over, just so you know, so that what the mayor does here and says we have a time limit, and you know, we have Mark LaBurra that sometimes, you know, measures the amount of time and says your time is up, it was ignored. You want video proof? Just watch the video. It's online. I'll send everyone of you a link of that meeting. And the members of that committee afterwards were appalled by the behavior. I was embarrassed at the show that normally isn't here twice a month that came down to Milwaukee County Courthouse and acted so inappropriately. And I said to them, this is what I deal with 2 times a month. I have the floor. 2 times a month. And they were appalled because I've been on that body for 5 years, some of these people much longer. And I can promise you, you know, Chairman Haas, who is a very nice man, but is probably the most lenient of committee chairmen, if Michael Mayo, who's been there for 20 years, if that behavior, you would have been kicked out of that committee room. We have sheriffs that sit right outside that they will kick people out. If it was my Committee of Economic Development, some of the behavior that went on, it was embarrassing. So I understand that maybe you rather sit than stand, and I suppose that could be afforded if that's this body's decision. That's how the county board operates. We have, now, just so you know, we have committees here in the city of Franklin, finance and personnel and the parks and economic development. I was at the economic development. I popped in last week, and Mr. Lewandowski was sitting at the table. I didn't realize he was a member of that committee. But the common council meeting, you just have citizen comment period. There's not as much interaction. It's more formal. Just so you know, on like May 25th is our county board meeting. That's after all the committees. There is no citizen comment period. No one from the audience is allowed to say a word. It is just the body doing business. So you got to understand there's different ways the county operates from the city. But don't try to please come down here and say that we don't give you time or cut you off. you abused, and so did other people that showed up, abused the time you were given and were very disrespectful to people that represent all portions of the county, and it really made Franklin look poorly. I'm just going to put in my 2 cents. Thank you, Your Honor.
May I respond to what you just said before you speak?
Now, if I was behaving the way you said I was, the answer to your question would be no. But since I don't respond that way, yes, you're welcome to respond, but that's it. We're not going to have a back and forth.
At that meeting, it's interesting that Mr. Taylor says that, because Mr. Taylor spent a lot of time leaving the meeting. He wasn't there for the full meeting. He walked in and out, in and out, in and out. He was the only representative there that did not stay for the full meeting. He was gone in. He was the only supervisor that played with his computer. All the others gave us full attention. He was also reprimanded twice by Haas, who ran the meeting, for his antagonistic behavior.
No, we're not going to do that.
It's the truth.
We're not going to do hearsay.
It's not hearsay.
Ma'am, it is hearsay if you didn't say it and he didn't say it. So finish with your point, please.
Well, you said it's on the video. You can see Haas.
I did watch the video. Please finish your point.
I'm just telling you that's on the video. I mean, when he's accusing people of being rude, he was rude to his own. Instead of representing Franklin taxpayers, instead of representing the people who voted him in, he was actually attacking us. And he had to be reprimanded twice by Haas for his behavior. And he was told if he did it again, he was going to be dismissed from sitting there. And so I would like to see. So if you want to show him the video,
they can watch that.
That's enough. That's enough. Ms. Mills, thank you very much. Your time is up.
Well, he wants.
Ms. Mills, no, I run the meeting. Your time is up. Thank you. Alderman Barber.
Just to set the record straight, Mr. Lewandowski sat at our table because he does have a problem with hearing, and he was sitting in the back and couldn't hear what the meeting was. So an accommodation was made based on his request. Now, I think that's the kind of thing that you're talking about, and it does go on in Franklin. Mm-hmm. It's just that we have to, you know, constantly hold ourselves accountable to allowing that to happen. I appreciate you coming in and making your comments this evening. It's something for all of us to think about. What we respond to, we don't have a response at this point, but for me, it's something I do want to think about. And there are special considerations, and we do try to accommodate, and I will stand by that.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot. And I would hope that the Alderman would think about this.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing when no one rises, I will close the citizen comment period. Move on to mayoral announcements. There is an announcement. As we all know, it's getting to be that weather. The tick season is upon us. And with ticks, there's a potential for Lyme disease. Our health department is well aware of this. In your packet, there was a Senate joint resolution, which is going before the states. It's not been approved, has it, Alderman?
Nothing I'm aware of, no.
I urge you all to speak with your constituents about the signs of Lyme disease, which sometimes can be a little difficult, but Lyme disease is an increasing problem. I am, at Alderman Wilhelm's request, appropriate request, I am going to have a conversation at the ICC meeting, which is the mayors and village presidents, to remind them of the health issue brought on by the ticks and Lyme disease, and that will happen on Monday, which, by the way, is another announcement not on the agenda. ICC meetings at Hales Corners, Monday at 1. Alderman Barber.
Is this something that could be referred to our health department to support it?
They are well aware and support it. Alderman Willem.
Publicity or anything like that?
The health department is going to, they've already prepared something for the newsletter that should be coming out. And they had a council action item for request for the mayor to full support for him to talk to the ICC, and then this resolution came up, so that seemed appropriate to put in there in its place. But I did want to point out a couple things on here on line 7. On the first page, it says an estimated 300,000 Americans are diagnosed each year with tick-borne diseases. For one thing, tick-borne diseases don't just include Lyme. They include all other types of bacteria, babesiosis, Bartonella, Mycoplasma, and some of these growing infections that we're just hearing about. Just recently, the CDC had on their website that it was only 30,000 Americans. This is a huge change in the CDC's website from 30,000 Americans to 300,000. We're talking about almost half the population of the city of Milwaukee a year now getting tick-borne diseases. And the other thing would be line 11, where it talks about a general symptoms commonly referred to as the bullseye rash. Just so people are aware, you don't always get a bullseye rash with Lyme. So that's kind of a misnomer that you have to have. Oh, I got bit. I didn't get a bullseye, therefore I can't have it. The other thing I wanted to mention was on page 2, line 7, where it talks about the repellents of 20 to 30% DEET. There is a new product that's becoming used by outdoorsmen, probably something our DPW should very much consider for the health and safety of our workers that are outside. It's called permethrin. You can pick it up at Walmart, Gander Mountain, places like that. It's a clothing spray. You spray it on your clothes, and it lasts for up to 2 weeks, and you don't have to have the repellent on your skin, and I would suggest that we start educating our guys that are working outside with that. And
Does that mean you can't wash your clothes for 2 weeks?
Actually, it will last through the wash. I would reapply it just to be on the safe side, but it actually says it lasts through a couple washings. So those of you gardening outside even, had a set of work clothes, spray them down with DEET. It could really be beneficial and maybe even save your life. Thank you.
Again, ICC meeting, you're all welcome at Hales Corner City Hall on Monday, 1 o'clock. Move on to item C, approval of the meeting minutes of the regular council meeting of April 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Aldermanic appointments. Item E, one, Mr. Backrow Joe Musolf for the Parks Commission.
John? Move to approve.
Yeah, move to approve that.
Second.
Okay. All those, Madam Clerk.
Discussion?
Alderman Mayor.
Just a couple questions from the website. On the website, it shows 15 vacancies in our committees and commissions. Is that up to date and accurate? Do we have 15 vacancies?
I don't believe so. Madam Clerk.
I don't know if it's been updated since the last meeting where they were reappointed. But we will check it out.
Okay.
And the new directory will be coming out following Joe's appointment to Park Commission.
Okay. Can we get a...
It's only a few, Dan.
Can we get a readout on what the vacancies actually are then, too, at that point? And what about connectivity? Does that still exist? Because it shows 7 vacancies or something like that on it by itself.
No, there are no appointments to that committee, and in order for that committee to be dissolved, it would have to be dissolved by ordinance.
So it still exists, it just doesn't have
there's
any...
nobody on it, yeah.
Just nobody on it. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Welcome, Joe. Joe, stand up so everybody can see who our new Parks Commissioner is. Thanks for volunteering, Joe. Item G1, a presentation of the 2016 Annual Comprehensive Financial Report for the City of Franklin. Mr. Ratzenberger. And Mr. Knepple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're here this evening to present the 2016 Annual Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, otherwise known as the CAFR, to the Common Council. This report was accepted and recommended for approval by the Finance Committee at its April 25th meeting of last week. So my computer went to sleep and we aren't advancing. The comprehensive annual financial report is prepared on two bases of accounting. One is the basis that you're familiar with, that we report on a regular basis, which is fairly closely to a cash basis, a very short-term view. And the other portion, another method of preparing the financial statements, is on a long-term view, otherwise known as the government-wide statements. The Government Accounting Standards Board is the board that sets the standards that are used to prepare these statements. That board, over the last several years, has been modifying the rules that we work under, and the government-wide statements now take a look at fixed assets, long-term debt, employee benefit costs, as well as pension expenses, and have those included in the financial statements that are not included in the normal month-end statements that we have. The report is organized in a number of fashion. There's an introduction at the beginning and a table of contents. That report has an introduction, some basic financial statements, the government-wide as well as the governmental statements on exhibits C and D. There's a set of footnotes, which are rather lengthy, but does provide important information to the reader. There's several pages of supplementary required information as well as additional supplementary information. And the statistical section at the back, which are labeled as tables, there's a number of reports there that have 10 years worth of data associated with it, so it gives you a trend set of data. And I find that there's some very interesting data in that statistical section, so I would encourage you to take a look at that. Again, the Government Accounting Standards Board sets the standards that we use to prepare these statements, as well as there's a National Organization of Government Finance Officers. They have an awards program for these type of reports. The City of Franklin has been receiving this report since 1992, and it's one of the longest-running cities in the state of Wisconsin to be receiving this report. I believe there's only two other cities in the state that have a longer record than the City of Franklin. The most common fund that people look at is the general fund that takes care of our operations. I'd ask you to take a look at Exhibit F on page 31. This is on a budgetary basis, and the city's revenues were $23.7 million, which was $202,000 less than we originally projected. The shortfalls were in the building permits, which there was a little less activity in development in the city than we thought, and ambulance fees and fire department revenues were also nearly $100,000 short of that plan. On the expenditure side, the city expended $23.7 million, and that was about $600,000 less than what was budgeted. So overall, the major differences were in public works and in general government, both of which were more than $200,000 underspent. The city general fund ended up with what I call a tiny deficit, $23,000 as the deficit in the general fund. The general fund also transferred out $1.2 million, so in total the general fund showed a $1.3 million deficit, but only $23,000 of that was based on operating activities. On page 27, you see the fund balance sheet, and on that you'll note on the bottom that the fund balance is $7.7 million. $2.3 million of that is non-spendable in that it's being held as a long-term receivable from one of the other funds from MMSD. There is a $5.3 million in unassigned fund balance that is available cash that could be used to meet some type of an emergency or unusual expenditure that the Common Council might decide on. Two other major funds that the city has is the debt service fund. It showed a small surplus of $144,000. I'd remind the Common Council that the Council approved a refinance of the 2007 bonds, which were a refinance of a 2001 bond issue that was originally sold to construct the police building. The TID funds, there are three TIDs in the city that are active. All the TID funds had a $1.6 million surplus. The TIDs now show a $2.5 million fund balance, with TID 4 having the largest balance of $1.4 million. There are 13 non-major funds and two groups, special revenue funds. You can see those on page 93, where we describe all of the special revenue funds. That would include the library fund, the solid waste fund, St. Martin's Fair fund, the celebrations fund. In total, they showed an $81,000 surplus. I would point out that the library had a $35,000 deficit, and that is a structural deficit in that their revenues do not meet their expenditures on an annual basis, and that is an ongoing problem that the city will have to address at some point. The solid waste fund has had nearly a $70,000 surplus, and the fund balance now has risen to $330,000, or 20% of its annual expenditure. So it's moving into the fund balance policy that the city has. Overall, the special revenue funds have a $1.1 million fund balance, $500,000 in the library, $177,000 in donations, $330,000 in the solid waste fund, and several others that you can see. The one major item, or the one item that I would point out, the St. Martin's Fair Fund is currently showing a deficit of $18,000 in its fund balance. Capital projects funds, there are four capital project funds. These are on page 95 and 96, and there are two development funds. The capital project funds, the capital outlay fund is the first one showing, had a deficit of $327,000, and that was principally spending monies that were transferred to that fund from the general fund in the prior year, 2015. The equipment replacement fund had a $66,000 surplus and shows a $2.4 million fund balance. We use that fund to accumulate resources to replace expensive pieces of equipment, and we have a major fire piece of equipment that will need replacement in the early 2020s, which will use up most, if not all, of that fund balance. The street improvement fund is used to repair streets on an annual basis. It showed a small surplus of $11,000 and has a $250,000 fund balance. That fund generally spends about $1 million on an annual basis. Capital improvement fund showed a $1 million surplus, but that was including a $1.2 million transfer from the general fund. You might recall that the city is going to collect a $2.3 million receivable from a Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. Those funds arrived in January of 2017, and so as not to violate any of the state spending requirements, we transferred a half of that receivable to the Capital Improvement Fund in 2016, so that when the funds arrived in 2017, they would be available for expenditure without violating any of the state requirements. There's two development funds in the city. One collects the impact fees that had $616,000 worth of fees collected. $170,000 of those were transferred to the debt service fund to fund projects in the police, fire, and city street projects, as well as $212,000 transferred to cover park projects that were expended. The development fund had a $206,000 surplus. There's a $4 million balance in that fund. $3 million of that is related to park fees that we're holding, and approximately $600,000 is related to water impact fees that we have. Utility development fund had a $300,000 surplus, but there were no projects in that fund. Because the capital improvement fund showed a $2.8 million unspent balance compared to the budget, I thought you'd be interested in knowing what happened there. General government had a $470,000 appropriation but didn't spend any of it. That was for a City Hall roof repair project. It's been delayed by at least a year. Public safety had a $600,000 appropriation. It spent $500,000 of that, primarily for a police dispatch console, as well as a roof replacement at fire station number one. Public Works Department had a $1.2 million appropriation. They spent $1 million. St. Martin's Road Test Corners Bridge a contract was let at the very end of the year. That replacement will take place this year, but the monies are showing as having been spent last year because they were appropriated and committed to. There's also a project for emergency vehicle preemption system. This is a project which is equipping traffic lights in the city such that the emergency vehicles who are responding to a public safety call can get those lights to be aligned so that they can traverse that intersection at a very safe basis. And the county is also helping out with that through the street projects that are going on. Lastly, the St. Martin's Road utility work was completed in the year just passed, and it was included in that $1 million worth of expenditures. On the park side, the appropriation was $1.5 million, but only $500,000 was spent. The last of the KLS Park project was completed early in 2016. Robinwood Trail was paved.